Hi everybody, welcome back to Better Than Bad. I'm your host Jess, and today I am joined by a returning guest. Someone wanted to come back, and I'm very excited. Please welcome back Brett. Hi Brett.
Hi, are you right?
I am fabulous. How are you? How's everything?
Going all right.
Well, that's all we can ask.
Yeah.
In the middle of a degree. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Took time out of that very important thing to watch one bad film at least.
Yeah. Between my mental breakdowns, I found time to watch some films, yeah.
Well, I hope this didn't start a mental breakdown watching these.
One of them nearly did.
Oh, there we go. do you wanna tell everybody who we are gonna be talking about today?
Yeah, of course. I think a little known actor. I don't know if many people have heard of him. Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, no. Up and coming, yeah. Really.
I think so, yeah.
Yes, so we're talking about Timothée Chalamet. So was there any particular reason as to why you wanted to talk about Mr. Timothée?
I feel like he's just one of the sort of omnipresent actors. He just seems to be in everything now. And his name's always sort of bandied round when a role's up for discussion and things. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's just a really interesting actor. I think it'd be interesting to go into his filmography a bit more.
Yeah. He's definitely sort of been on the rise for the last few years, become very much centered in the sort of cultural landscape of actors. People know who he is. For those who maybe don't know who he is, Timothée Chalamet is an American actor. At the age of 27, Timothy is already pretty much a household name. Makes me feel like a failure. He started off in small roles in television series, in films, and he gained international attention after his lead role in the 2017 film Call Me By Your Name, for which he earned an Academy Award nomination. He's since gone on to star in several other high profile films, including Dune and Little Women, amongst others. So we're going to be talking about his highest and lowest rated films today, as we always do on this podcast. So I've cheated yet again on the old highest and lowest, because both his highest and lowest were two films that he's not really in that much. His highest rated film is Interstellar with 8.6 stars. He's obviously in that, has some really cool scenes, but in an effort to have a bit more to talk about with his career, we decided to go one below and go with Dune, which has 8 stars and an 83% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. His lowest rated film was a film called Worst Friends with 4.6 stars. And as well as him seemingly not being in it a lot, I also could not find that anywhere on streaming. So instead, we went for one above that and watched True Deception, which had 5.2 stars and a 25% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So we're going to start off by talking about True Deception. Get it out of the way. Like I said, 5.2 stars on IMDb with a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 25%. It's also known by its alternative title, The Adderall Diaries, which some people might recognise, rather than True Deception. Don't know why there's two different titles. Probably should have researched that before I started this episode, but here we are. The film premiered in April of 2015 at the Tribeca Film Festival before getting a wider release in March of 2016. And it was directed and written by Pamela Romanowski, and it's based on the book The Adderall Diaries by Stephen Elliott. It stars James Franco, Amber Heard, Ed Harris, and of course, Timothée Chalamet. Franco plays Stephen Elliott, a troubled writer who decides to write about a murder trial, all while coming to terms with his past, which may not be exactly as he remembered it. Had you seen this film before?
I hadn't, and I think it's for good reason. I don't know where to start with this.
Yeah, I'd never seen it before. I'd never even heard of it before. So Timothy plays the younger version of Stephen Elliott, who's played by James Franco in the film. To start off with, like, Timothy's not in it a lot, I'll be honest. If anybody is thinking of watching this for Timothée Chalamet, you may be slightly disappointed. He sort of exists in a few flashbacks and has very little dialogue. I will say, and I don't know whether you'll agree with me on this, even in those moments, you can see that he's acting. He's going through it. He's very invested in what he's doing as an actor, even though you only really do get little snippets of images and a couple of lines here and there from him.
Yeah, definitely agree. When he is in it, so in the flashbacks, I think it's like, it's not even very often in the film. It's like, I want to say it's like less than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, you can tell he's giving it his best, you know. You know, he is trying. As opposed to like some of the other performances in the film. But you can tell he's putting his heart and soul into it. Like, he does care.
Yeah.
But obviously, I don't know, it feels weird to judge because he only has like, I want to say like a few lines.
Mm.
So I don't know if I can really judge it properly. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been interesting to see a cut of this film where they kind of had more of those flashback scenes and you saw them a bit more in depth, because it's clear that when they were filming it, they would have filmed like a whole chunk of a scene, all this different dialogue, and then they've just taken bits of it to cut into the final edit, which in terms of like the actual film makes sense, because part of the thing is that the main character, Stephen, doesn't quite remember exactly what happened to him in his childhood. He just knows he had a bad childhood. He had, you know, an abusive father, but he doesn't remember everything. And it's only when you get later on into the film that the pieces start to come together. So it makes sense for it to be a bit fragmented throughout the film, but it would have been nice to have had at some point when you get towards the end of that, a full kind of breakdown of at least one of the scenes that Timothy's in, where he gets a bit, you know, because it's clear that they had that filmed, so it would have been nice to have had that, mainly just for the purpose of this, to be able to talk about Mr. Timmy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean like I say, the flashbacks for me were probably the most interesting part. I don't know about you, but I feel like the main story of the film didn't really have me that invested, just because of the acting from James Franco in particular. And then did the editing annoy you in this? Because it annoyed me.
Yeah, there was a lot of this film that was a bit frustrating to watch, I guess, because I think it's a story that definitely has the potential to be really good. There's some interesting elements to it. I think that it, as a film, it was just kind of okay. I wouldn't say that it's like the worst film I've ever watched in my life, but it was just okay, kind of forgettable. It seemed to really like heavily lie on like aesthetic choices at points. Like, I don't really need the scenes where they're in a neon bedroom having sex. Like, we didn't add anything to the storyline, didn't really like enhance any of the characters or their relationships at all. It was just, it felt like it was an aesthetic choice, which is just like, kind of roll your eyes a little bit. But, and yeah, you're right, the editing was a bit clunky, I felt, at times.
Yeah, sort of, especially sometimes going between his character in the present day and then back to Timmy. You know, it was those points I think I found quite clunky, and then just various other points as well. I'm just sort of like, what is going on?
And it was one of those things where there's multiple kind of storylines coming in at once. You have Steven, who's supposed to be writing a memoir, then decides he doesn't want to write this memoir and is deciding that he wants to write about this murder case that's going on at the time. So you've got that sort of intrigue of like, did this guy do it? But then it's not a whodunit, it's about this guy who's suffered. So you have all of the flashbacks, and then the father reaching out, who I must say, I do think that probably the best performance of the bunch in terms of the people that actually seem to have lines was Ed Harris. I thought he did a great job playing the dad. But there's just seemed to be a disconnect between all of those Storylines. I mean, maybe that was the point. This guy's supposed to be a bit on edge and doesn't really know what's happening in his life, doesn't know his past. Maybe it's supposed to feel a bit disjointed, but I think there's a way to do that without it kind of coming across a bit meh.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the whole thing with like the murder subplot, I'm just sort of like, really?
Mm.
Like, you've got a great sort of central idea for a film. And then, yeah, you go, oh no, we're going to go over this murder plot line. And I'm just sort of like, you really didn't have faith in this because you're just like, what can we do to make it exciting?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to read the book that this is based on, because that's literally a memoir that then also has the story of this murder. I wonder whether it works well in the book format. Because I can imagine that he was bringing in elements of his own life into the way it was reflected into the case, the murder case. But yeah, I think that was probably the issue, actually. It didn't feel like they were bringing it round to explain why he was so invested in this murder case. It kind of looked like, from my perspective at least, that he just became really like hyper fixated on it, and there wasn't a lot of explanation as to the fact that he kind of viewed it in a way that was similar to what happened to him, and it was bringing up memories of his past. That wasn't explained fully. It was just a lot of, like we said, little flashbacks of Timothy getting his head dunked in a bath and his him getting handcuffed to a pipe, you know. It was lacking a bit of cohesion.
Yeah, definitely. It does feel like it's wanting to go in sort of many different directions, and it can't really settle on what specifically it wants to do.
Yes, and it's a difficult one to talk about in terms of Timothy, because like we said, he's not in it much. And to be fair, Timothy has a lot of his early stuff is him playing the younger characters, the younger versions of other characters. And so it's difficult to gauge what is he going to be in a lot of, what is he not going to be in that much of. And he really isn't in this as much as I had hoped that he would have been in. But it's, I think it's quite an interesting thing to look at in terms of how far he's come in such a short space of time. As I said, this, you know, this premiered in 2015. It's now 2023. That's a fair amount of time, but that's not a huge amount of time for someone to go from playing the, you know, younger version of James Franco in little flashbacks to suddenly being the leading man that everybody talks about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I think probably other projects probably helped him out as well. Like you said before, like he was, when he was in Interstellar, he was really good in it. But yeah, I think judging from his limited sort of screen time in this, you can definitely tell he has something. And obviously that went on, I think a couple of years later, Call Me By Your Name came out. Was it 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, so just from that to that, you know, from this subpar James Franco film to, you know, one of the most talked about films of that year.
Mm-hmm.
His performance as well, you know. Yeah, it's amazing how far he came in such a short span of time, really.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to him, like in terms of this performance, like you can kind of see how much he's in it. And he does seem like, from what I've heard, and you know, when you watch performances of his, you watch interviews with him, he does seem to be a very dedicated actor, very dedicated to the craft and making sure that when he does take on roles, he's doing them as well as he can. And it's clear that despite not having a lot of material to work with, he came in knowing what the character was about, knowing where the character was at, and performed that to the best that he could. And he did excellent. And when you think about it as well, despite the fact that it is little flashbacks, he had a lot of heavy stuff to perform. Lots of moments of being on drugs, moments of wanting, literally trying to kill himself. There's a lot in there, and he performed it all with sort of his usual level of perfection, it seems. It's a strange one. Like I said, he's not in it a lot. And if there are any people listening who are like, I want to watch a Timothée Chalamet movie, maybe don't pick the one that he's only in for a couple of minutes.
Not the best choice.
Are there any moments in this that were particular standouts or any other sort of...
To be honest, this film just sort of... I had quite a similar reaction to you. It was quite, meh, you know. At points I found it quite boring.
Mm.
But, any scene where Ed Harris is in it, you know, immediately I'm interested. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, one of the flashbacks with Timothy. Just the rest of it, some of it's just so clunky. I can't really pick many moments from this, I have to say. Even though I watched it a few days ago, it's just, I can't really pick many moments from this. I mean, I think there was the first flashback where Timothy's character, his dad, and it's a very intense sequence for, you know, that was sort of gripping.
Mm-hmm.
And you flash back to the modern day, and I'm just sort of like, I'm not as invested. Was there any for you?
I mean, mostly just kind of similar to you. I thought anything that had Ed Harris in was quite compelling. I thought the rest of it sort of mooched along at a pretty slow pace, and I found myself getting a bit bored. I liked the scene where Stephen is reading out a excerpt of his memoir, and Ed Harris stands up and tells everybody that it's complete bullshit. Again, I think that was mainly because of Ed Harris and his performance. And like I said earlier, part of me wishes that we had a full sequence of seeing the events between Timothée Chalamet's younger Stephen and Ed Harris, just so we could have finally put all of those pieces together that were being sort of fragmented throughout the film. But for the most part, it was just kind of there. It wasn't a film that I particularly found compelling. I think that there were certain elements to it that had potential. I think there's a story in here that would be really quite compelling had it maybe been handled in a slightly different way. But it just seemed to fall a little bit into that trying to be scandalous for the sake of being scandalous at times. If you are going to watch this film, don't watch it near your parents kind of moment of sex scenes and dominatrix moments and all of these different weird stuff. And it's fine, you know, people love that, whatever. But it was one of those things where it just felt like it was being put in there. As frequently as it was being put in there, it felt like it was just for the sake of it.
Not for like family movie night.
No, definitely not. Would not recommend for family movie night. And it's one of those things where I sort of watch it and I think I probably will never watch that again. And not even because I'm like, that was so bad, I am never putting myself through that. It's just because it's just meh.
Yeah. That's a very good way to describe it, meh.
Yeah, and that's my wonderful film criticism. It was meh. Timothy does a great job with what he's given. Are we surprised? No, he always seems to do a great job with everything he's given. And I think for the purposes of seeing something from a bit more earlier on in his career, it's quite cool to see how far he's come. But if there are no other comments about True Deception, I guess we'll move on to our next film. So we are going to be talking about Dune. Now, are you a Dune or a June person? People pronounce it in very different ways. I'm trying to get the scope of the land.
I'm a Dune guy.
Dune
guy. What about you?
I flip between the two. I'm a bit fickle. I'm like, sometimes I'm saying Dune And sometimes I'm like, Dune, I don't know what I am. Maybe this is my defining thing. I need to figure out who I am. This will define me as a person. So it will swap and change in this recording many a time, probably.
Yeah.
But yes, it has 8 stars on IMDb with a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 83%. The film premiered at the Venice Film Festival in September of 2021 and had its wider release in October of the same year. It's directed by Denis Villeneuve. I think I've pronounced that last name right.
Yeah, and it
smashed it. And it's about a noble family that becomes embroiled in a war for control over the galaxy's most valuable asset, while its heir becomes troubled by visions of a dark future. Had you seen this film before? I assume you had.
I did. I watched it in the cinema, actually, when it came out. I fucking loved it.
Yay! I saw this in the cinema as well. It was one of those films where I felt like I had to go see it in the cinema because, one, it's really long. And I'm bad at watching long films at home because there's too many distractions. There's too many opportunities for me to pick up my phone and start scrolling through Twitter. But when I'm in the cinema, I don't get distracted. I put my phone away. So I knew going to see it in the cinema would be better. But also, I knew it was going to be some kind of big epic. And I think experiencing that in the cinema was probably for the best. I really, really enjoyed it when I saw it for the first time in the cinema. I think it's really clear, I don't know about your opinions on this, but I think it's very clear that it is a film that was designed to be a setup for the rest of what will be a trilogy.
I remember watching
lots of world building.
Yeah. Also the fact that when it saw when the film starts, I remember from seeing this in the cinema, the title card comes up and it goes Dune, part one. And everyone, I heard a few people in like the screening hours and just sort of go, part one, what? I'm just sort of like, yes, they have confidence in this. There's going to be a second one.
Because when it first came out, it was not confirmed that there would be a second film. We now obviously know that there will be. It should be coming out later this year. But it wasn't confirmed for a while. And so you go into the film and you watch it and it's like part one. And there was a part of me that was like, oh, what if there's not a part two? but luckily for us, it did very well on the numbers front. But it is a lot of world building. It's a lot of sort of, I find it very effective in filling you in on the politics of this galaxy that this is all set in. It definitely builds up those worlds, builds up those characters. I know a few people who, when I spoke to them, they found the film a bit boring. And as much as I found it quite compelling and interesting, I can understand why people would think that, because it is a very long film that is just a lot of explanation as to where these people are at and building up to what I imagine the second film will be a bit more, not necessarily action-packed, but a bit more like fuller in terms of material. Because it was, it's kind of building up to that moment throughout the first film, and then you get to the end and it's like, and now you have to wait for part two for the real like action to really begin. But I think for a first installment in what is going to be a trilogy, I think it set everything up perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've heard sort of similar criticisms, people saying, oh, it's a bit slow. I enjoyed it, and I was like, you know, I've seen the sign. I haven't actually read the book, but it's like, I know it's a huge, huge book. I'm like, if you're going to set up something this complicated, you need sort of time to do it. Like, set up a world, you need time to do it. It's not like, referencing back to the last episode we did, there was a little film that rushed to try to build basically a copycat of Marvel in like an hour and a half. That film is The Mummy, but that's an example of how you do it wrong.
Exactly. I mean, this is a, is clear from the first film. It's a very complicated story. It's a complicated, world. There's political systems that are unlike our own, and you know, you kind of have to understand that. And I think I give it its dues for, and I give Denis in particular, like, his dues for being like, oh, I'm going to set this up, and I'm going to set this up right, because if I don't, people aren't going to understand what's going on. Because that's the risk you play when you do a sort of sci-fi epic like this. Because I find sci-fi for a lot of people is very hit and miss, and it's usually because sci-fi and fantasy, because it's usually because the political systems and the world building, it hasn't been done right. So I think it's fair enough to spend an entire film going, okay, I'm going to build this world up, and I'm going to build up the political system and make you understand it properly, rather than rushing through it just to get to the action-packed moments, and people haven't fully invested in why they're doing certain things, and why are they going to this planet and trying to collect all of this stuff? Why are there these people who live underneath the sand dunes? where's this big worm come from? Like, there's so many things that if you didn't take the time to go, okay, this is where we're at, this is why we do certain things, this is why characters move in this way and act, so this is why their eyes are a certain color, like there's so many different layers to it that there's no way that I would have understood had they not taken the time to actually explain them.
I'm the same, really, because so many things in the film that need explaining. So like you said, why certain people's eye color is blue, and the sort of political systems in this sort of world, and how everything affects each other, and like the sort of scheming that's also going on. And also a lot of stuff, if you look at it, it's a film about family as well, because it's about the Atreides family, Paul's sort of role within that, the weight that's being put on him, and how he wants to like live up to his father.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot going on, but also not to say there is action in it. Come on.
those fun moments at the end with the characters battling, and there's lots of different very tense moments of them running away from things, and there's a lot to it. It's a slow paced film, but I think that's intentional. And it's building up to what, you know, we know will continue to be pretty epic. But from what I've heard of I'm the same. I've never read the book. I picked it up in a bookshop once and saw how small the writing was and how many pages. And I was like, you know what? I'll just watch the film. it's a monster of a book, but I haven't read it. But loads of people who have said that there's loads of discussions about like colonialism, and there's wars, there's all these battles to come up, and there's just a lot that happens. So they have to build it up properly, because otherwise these people wouldn't be invested. They wouldn't be invested in Paul as a character either, which I think is really integral that we're kind of rooting for him, because I've heard that he goes on to do some pretty awful things. So I'm preparing myself. But in terms of Timothy, our boy of the hour, he is such a strong lead in this, the center point of the film. He commands the screen, and he sort of demands your attention, which I think works really well for that character, because that character is supposed to be very like commanding and in that space, but also feeling a little bit overwhelmed by what he has to do at the same time. And Timothy manages to capture that perfectly, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You definitely get the sense that from his performance in the film, he's very strong as a leading man. Mm-hmm. We know from like watching, as other people have seen him, he is a very good, and Timothy Chalamet has an amazing screen presence.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he just embodies his character. Like, his character feels very stoic in a way, because he feels like he has to. He's part of this royal family, and there's a lot of expectations put on him. and the fact that, but also you can tell, obviously, as the film goes on, it's getting very overwhelming, and it that sort of shines through quite a bit in his performance. But yeah, he's so strong in this, and I can't wait to see what they do in part two and like where they take his character.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see his performance in the second film. And I think he's also an actor that seems to bounce off of other actors really well. Clearly, like, he's very in the room when he's performing, not distracted by anything else. He's sort of really reacting, responding to his other actors. I think the work that he does with Rebecca Ferguson in this, who plays his mother, is really, really interesting. And does more to sort of really explain who he is as a character and where he's at. And obviously there's other moments with other characters, but I think that for me is the pairing that really shines in this first film. And I imagine as we go on, there'll be more stuff with Zendaya. And I know that Florence Pugh is going to be in the next one, Austin Butler. So it's stacked cast for the second one as well. But he does seem to be an actor that does really well working with other actors, which sounds silly to say. I know there's going to be a lot of people be like, well, obviously, but some actors don't. Some actors are a bit, you know, don't really work well with others as well as they should. So he is certainly someone who seems to have an appreciation for the other people who he works with, other actors, and wants to work with them, wants to do good work. And it sort of shines in this. And like I said, particularly with his work with Rebecca Ferguson and their scenes, really found them really compelling together.
Yeah, I mean, the cast is really strong in the first part as well. You've got Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem, Oscar Isaac. You know, you've got so many. Rebecca Ferguson as well, sorry. So many established big name actors. And Timothy, despite being, I think he's in his mid-20s, right? He's on their level.
Yeah.
If you see, like, in terms of performance, in terms of, like, oh, I believe you as, like, this main character, you know? Like, you are just as important as all these other actors on screen who are also doing amazing work, you know? Because sometimes you'll get films where someone's put in a lead role and then they put a lot of really established actors around them to sort of cover up any sort of, like, not bad acting, but, you know, like, that sort of thing, just because they're a buzzy name or something like that. But yeah, that's obviously not the case here, because Timothy is just on their level all the time. And yeah, he just, you know, he shines just as much as everyone else in the film.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing with Timothy in general. I think he clearly has worked very hard to be this good of an actor. I don't believe he stepped out of the womb being able to act like this. He clearly has put a lot of effort into being the best actor that he can be, puts a lot of care and attention. You can see that in his work. But he stands up against these juggernauts, these actors who have been in the game for a very long time, who know what they're doing. He stands alongside them, and you don't feel like he's being overwhelmed by being in that space with them, as he's at the same level. And to be at that point at this age, it just makes you think, where's he going to be at when he's 50? Like, what like, because you get better, you as you do it more, and I wonder whether he'll be, like, he's at this point now. You just think, oh God, how much better can you get?
Yeah, I mean, give him time.
Yeah, his career is interesting. He's had the opportunity to do a lot of very different things, very interesting things, which is, he's sort of fortunate to have had those opportunities. He's definitely the man of the hour, as I was saying earlier. Like, he is the person that everybody's always talking about. He's had the opportunity to do big time blockbusters like this, but then he's also had the opportunity to be in the smaller independent films as well. But also he's become that name now that if he does something that's independent, people will go and see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as well, I don't know if you thought this, but it sort of felt like, you know, Dune Part 1 was a, like, it, you know, it is a blockbuster, but it's not your typical blockbuster, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's very much its own pace. It's very much its own sort of world. It's not trying to sort of throw explosions at you every 5 minutes. Like, feels like an art house blockbuster, if that's not a, you know, too awful term to say.
No, I know what you mean, though. It is true. It felt very considered as a blockbuster. It felt like there was a lot of effort and energy. And that's not to say that there isn't effort and energy put into these usual blockbusters. There clearly is. It takes a very long time to make a film. And people always put in a huge amount of effort and care and energy into making these. But it did feel like with Dune that it was coming from a different place, a different perspective. Obviously, they needed to make money in order to be able to make their sequel, but it felt like they were just very invested in telling this story and telling it correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they did that, you know.
And it's visually stunning. One of the most visually gorgeous films I have ever seen. Just beautiful in every aspect. Some of those visual effects that they used as well were so mind-blowing. You'd be there like, I've watched the film, how have they done this? I don't understand. And that's what I want to be when I'm watching a film that's like a sci-fi film. I want to watch it and be like, I literally do not know how they did that. And I love that. But yeah, everyone in it, amazing. Timothy, incredible. Visually stunning. We love it. And I think a part of that will come down to Denis as a director. Pretty much all of his work that I have seen has been that sort of thing as well. It's very considered. It's very extremely well made. All the sci-fi stuff that he's done has been incredible. All the other bits he's done as well. Like, he's just great. So I think, yeah, a big part of producing a piece of work where the performances are all standouts and the visuals all tie together and it's very cohesive, I think it comes down to the director and the way that they direct their team. And it's clear that it was done with a lot of intention and a lot of thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's sort of in the same league as Christopher Nolan, really, isn't he? A lot of time and effort, consideration put into his films.
Yeah. And I am really excited to see the next part.
Yes, hopefully this year.
And see where everything goes. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's down for 2023 to be released, but things change. It's an expected November, hopefully. I mean, I imagine it will come out around then because they'll want to get in on the awards season.
Yes, yeah.
So I imagine coming out around that time will be ideal, but I am very excited to see what happens next in this series. But yeah, I think in terms of Timothy's career, it's just so cool to see the trajectory, because this is someone's career that, because they're so young, I can actually go back and be like, okay, I've seen a lot of this, even if I haven't necessarily watched it, because, you know, I haven't watched every single film that he's been in, but you can kind of track when the films came out. You remember, oh yeah, there was that film and I remember that coming out. And so you can kind of see the career like happening in real time. Whereas when you have some of these older actors who were around before, you know, we were born, you kind of you get to the point and you go, oh, I wouldn't have seen that when it came out because I wasn't alive. But this is like stuff that you genuinely would have seen popping out every so often. And it seems like, you know, he's started off in short films and then worked his way up to doing small one episode parts in TV series. He was in like Law and Order for one episode, and then he was in Homeland for like 8 episodes, and then he builds his way up. And it is that it's a quick progression, don't get it twisted. As actors go, this is someone who got got his foot in the industry and got everybody talking about him very quickly. But it's clear that it hasn't come from just a audition for one thing and then magically was an Academy Award nominee. He still had a certain amount of build to get to where he is today, which I like to see.
Yeah, you really have to put in the work, don't you? I mean, coming at it from your perspective, because obviously you're an actor as well, how common is it for someone like Timothy at such a young age to progress that far? Like, do you know anyone that's sort of, maybe not to the similar sort of, obviously, Hollywood standards, but like, do you know anyone who's got there that quickly?
No. not really. I mean, people who spring to mind in terms of like Hollywood stars who've also had similar trajectories have been like Florence Pugh is another one who had a very quick trajectory. Jennifer Lawrence, those sorts of people. But in terms of like normal everyday jobbing actors, it is so unbelievably rare for you to reach that point at such a quick speed. And I think that's something that a lot of people forget about actors, because you'll turn around and you'll say you're an actor and they're like, oh, what have you been in? And then you list off a couple of things that nobody's ever heard of, or you're in an advert or whatever, and people go, okay, but like you said you're an actor. And it's like, there's that being an actor is so much of it is going to auditions for adverts, for short films, for thing, and you know, for things that people will never ever see, plays that are off West End that no one's ever gonna really go to. And there's so many that's what part of it is about. And there will be many actors who will graft on that level, and they will stay on that level for a very long time, and it will take them even longer to reach any further up in the industry. They might not even get any further up in the industry, because it's just so sort of, the industry is so overpopulated with people who want to be actors. And I think sometimes it's about your talent, sometimes it's not. It's clear that Timothy has the whole package, which is a very fortunate thing to have. He's very talented. He's also attractive, which plays a big role in getting jobs. He has a certain look to him where he can be in a period piece like Little Women, and it makes perfect sense. You look at him, you go, yep, that's someone who looks like they don't know what a phone is. But then he could also be in some kind of, you know, sci-fi epic like Dune, and that makes sense as well. He could be in a comedy film and you wouldn't question it. He's got a look about him where you can place him anywhere, and I don't think many people would be too like baffled as to why he's in this like particular place. And that's again a fortunate thing to have, that versatility in terms of what you look like, because so much of this industry is about typecasting. So if you can't necessarily typecast him that easily, it allows him to do so many different things, which is
handy
for an actor to be able to have that. But yeah, I think going back to your question, it is really rare. It's really, really, really rare to find an actor who just goes like that. And it's a strange occurrence that we've seemed to have had in the last couple of years. You know, Timothy, Florence Pugh, they all came up very, very quickly. And I think people are like almost like, oh, well, that must happen quite frequently then, because look at these two actors. But it just doesn't. It really doesn't. And I think it's a testament to his talent, but also just circumstance, you know, right place, right time.
Yeah. I mean, I think Florence Pugh is a really interesting example, because I think they're both around the same age and came up around the same time. But have obviously had different trajectories slightly, if that makes sense. Obviously I know Florence Pugh does a lot of independent films and things, and obviously she did Black Widow, which was, you know, I'm gonna say too much about it here, but it wasn't great. But yeah, she seems to have that sort of versatility.
We seem to be reaching a point in the industry as a whole where they seem to be moving in this direction, where they will allow actors the opportunity to explore different genres, different types of films. And I think that that will only help to make the industry more interesting, to make these stories better. I think it's clear that Timothée Chalamet is someone who's quite a champion of different stories. He was a producer on Bones and All, which came out semi-recently. And that film is something that, quite honestly, probably wouldn't have been made had it not had the backing of the people that were backing it. Because it is a very strange film that wouldn't necessarily... I don't think a lot of people would have probably gone to see it had it not had the cast it had, and it didn't have the director it had. Because, yeah, you hear cannibal lovers and you go, do I want to see that? I'm not sure. But it is a film that's really interesting. Again, his performance in that is very captivating. Taylor Russell was amazing in that. Mark Rylance, great. It's quite a grotesque film, made me feel very uncomfortable, but it's good. And I think, again, he championed that. He made sure that, you know, he produced it. He's not the lead in that film. It's Taylor Russell is the lead in that film. And he's the type of actor who, realistically, if he wanted to, he could just be like, I am only going to play lead roles now. You will not see me in a supporting role, because he could say that. Like, he genuinely could say that. He's at the point in his career already where he could say that. And he hasn't been like that at all. He's you know, that film's a perfect example of that. He saw something that he really liked to do, and he not necessarily took a back seat so much as just allowed another person to shine a bit, which again I think shows that he's dedicated to not only acting but just filmmaking as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look at his IMDb, the amount of sort of various sort of different stuff he's sort of like ping pong around, like, you know, he did he was like a supporting character in Don't Look Up, obviously going to the main role in June, and then doing this sort of weird, you know, art house cannibal film, and then he's gonna play Bob Dylan, a biopic, you know.
Yeah, Willy Wonka.
Yes, yeah, nearly forgot about that, Willy Wonka as well. If that's not Rage.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you just got to look at his upcoming. Honestly, the three upcoming films on his IMDb, you've got him playing Bob Dylan, him playing Willy Wonka, and then him doing Dune Part 2. Hello? Rage? Like, it's there. The versatility is so clear. And he's very fortunate to be in a place where he can explore all of these different options. That is not a gift that is granted to many actors. A lot of actors are essentially just given a typecast, and that's what they have to roll with. So he has been very, very lucky to be able to explore all of these different characters. I would hope that this, you know, he's proof that if you allow people to have the opportunity to play different characters, then they will clearly shine in different roles. So maybe it will be the start of something good in terms of allowing actors to break away from typical typecasting. But yeah, it's great. Like, he's got a great career so far, and I'm excited to see what else he does. Like, he's been in so many wonderful films that I've loved. Lady Bird, Little Women, Dune, you know, there's so many things that he's done. And I mean, even if we, you know, we can ignore the bottom end of his filmography, but even then, there's, as we said before, there's clear sort of clear demonstration that he knows what he's doing, even in a couple of bitty flashbacks.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a professional, isn't he? To sum him up, very dedicated.
That's what we like. We like a dedicated actor.
We love it.
And it's always interesting to hear what he has to say about acting as well. Whenever he's spoken about it, he clearly cares and has a real consideration for the craft, and wants to do well, wants to progress, not only progress the himself, but seem in general to want to improve the movie industry. So it'd be interesting to see what else he does beyond what's upcoming at the moment, all these other different things that will eventually come out.
Man of many talents.
Man of many, many talents. And including rapping. Have you seen that video of him doing that awful rapping?
Oh, yeah. Oh. To be fair, it was...
Hilarious.
He gave it a go.
He gave it a good go. Are there any other favourite films of his?
I think, to me, Lady Bird is still a standout for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I love the film, really. But he's just... he's incredible in it. I don't know. It's one of those things that's very hard to pin down. Really, what is his best performance?
I know, because he's so great in everything.
Yeah, he's just so excellent. I don't know. I think either Lady Bird or maybe Call Me By Your Name, I guess. But June is also up there for me. What about you?
I think my favourite films of his, Little Women, loved him in that, loved that film, love Lady Bird. I've actually never seen Call Me By Your Name. It's on my list. It's one of those films that passed me by when it first came out, and I've never got around to watching it. I do need to watch it.
Well, it's slightly controversial now because of the, because of the Armie Hammer stuff. Yeah, so I haven't actually seen it since. When did I watch it? Must have been like a year or two after it came out, which was obviously before the Armie Hammer stuff came out. But
yeah,
I don't know what it's going to be like when you go and watch it and just sort of be like, oh.
Well, yeah, that's the thing with these films is sometimes they come out and then there's some kind of controversial thing that happens with a cast member and you either watch it and try to ignore that and just watch the film, or you let it affect how you view the performance. I won't know how I'll feel until I watch it, but I do want to see it because obviously Timothy was nominated for an Oscar for that, and I'm sure that his performance is incredible. Everybody says that it's amazing, so I would like to see that. And having seen the other film he did with Luca, Bones and All, interested to see the different directional choices and how that he was directed in that, and the performance that he gets out of him, because the role he plays in Bones and All was very intense, and based on my understanding of the plot of Call Me By Your Name, quite a different character. So I'm interested to definitely see that one. But yeah, he's just an actor who seems to, whatever he puts his hand to, he does brilliantly.
Which of his upcoming roles are you most excited about out of the three that are sort of listed?
I can't lie, I'm really excited to see Wonka. I'm fascinated as to what this is going to be. It's like, if I'm not wrong, there's like musical numbers in there. I imagine it's going to be a big kind of, from the looks of it, maybe family comedy type film. Cast is pretty stacked. And that is very different, again, a very different film for Timothy. Not something he's done before. So I'm really interested to see him in something like that. We've seen him do little comedy pieces here and there. I wasn't a huge fan of Don't Look Up, but I thought his character was probably my favourite because I found him really funny in that. He played that so well. So we've seen him do the comedy stuff. And I'm just interested to see, I don't know how much Wonka will lean into comedy, but I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued. What about you?
See, for me, it has to be, I don't know, the Bob Dylan films have got me really interested because I know he's a big Bob Dylan fan. And I don't know how, I could just be misremembering. But I think he might be singing the film, I'm not quite sure. So like live performances, so I think that'll be really interesting. Also just sort of like Bob Dylan is one of these, how do I say it, acclaimed figures in the music industry, and to see Timothy at like still such a young age taking on this sort of real life story is just sort of like, it's very interesting to me. But also, yeah, Wonka as well, because I don't know what is gonna, what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm just intrigued. It seems pretty obvious, but I have to ask a question anyway, because that's the point of this podcast. But which film did you prefer of the two that we watched?
It's a tough one. Could it be the James Franco Misfire, or is it the big space epic? It's going to be the big space epic, isn't it?
Yeah.
So...
Same. Once again, the higher rated film has prevailed, and I have preferred the higher rated film. No surprises there, though, based on the two that we watched. So, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you on the socials, what you're up to, anything that you want to let people know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, on Twitter, I'm just at B Holenshaw, and then what I'm up to, I'm honestly not up to much at the minute because I'm, you know, being haunted by my degree. So, just trying to survive that first. Yeah. But yeah, feel free to give me a follow if you want.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure everybody who's listening will wish you the best of luck with your degree.
Thank
Most people will know the stress. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed our little chat about all things Timothy. I'm really glad that you wanted to come back. Is there anyone else that you can think of off the top of your head that you think I should discuss on this podcast?
Paul Mescal, if you haven't already
done
him. Or I actually realise a lot of my choices are a bit too male orientated. So I might, you know, Daisy Edgar Jones as well.
Yeah, go for a bit of normal people. Yeah, no, Paul Mescal would be really interesting. Actually, both of them would be really interesting because, again, they're like actors who are very much on the rise and have been in the last couple of years. So, yeah, it'd be really interesting to discuss their work and see the trajectory of their work from when they first started to where they're at now. Very good suggestions. I will add them to the list, and of course, if you want to come back, you can come back and discuss them.
We'll discuss my wage and then we'll
see. Oh, okay. He wants to get paid now. He's like, I've done you enough
favours. Time is money.
I've done you enough favours, Jess. That's it.
Look, if you want a big influencer, you got to swim the books, right?
But yeah, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you had fun. Hopefully.
I did, yeah. It was a blast. Thank you for having me again.
No worries. And I will just say to the lovely listeners out there that I will see you next time on Better Than Bad. Join me next time on Better Than Bad, where we'll be discussing Mads Mikkelsen. We'll be talking about his highest rated film, The Hunt, and one of his lowest rated films, Exit. See you next time.